Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha.
Hey, everybody.
This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon, a part of Coffee Party USA's internet radio series and a Be the Media project. If you're interested in being a part of Be the Media, whether it's a researcher, a co-pilot, a radio show host, or just a part of our editorial board, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and take that civility pledge and then find the volunteer button. We'll be talking more about the civility pledge today. So, hey, Debbie Lynn Molyneux, thanks for joining us from Portlandia.
Hey, Janine. It is a typical misty day here in Portland.
I know, I was shocked. We went from the 90s to the 70s, like overnight. And I hope the weather is a blessing to all the rest of you out there, because I know that there have been huge challenges across America. So best to everyone. So we're talking about our survey today, Debbie Lynn. We're talking about opinion, please. And I'm a little rusty at surveys, but I see them as very, very important. Michael Charney reported on his recent survey on The Middle Ground, which is our Tuesday night radio, Coffee Party radio show. His topic, which was asking, what do you think of when you hear the term Democrat? What do you think of when you hear the term Republican? What do you think of when you hear the term independent? Was a lively conversation, but it quickly turned to civility, because one of his observations was how many uncivil comments there were, Democrats about Republicans, Republicans about Democrats, and some people about the party system at all. And that was very an insightful conversation. If you have a chance to stream that show, I suggest you do it. Interestingly enough, our survey comments did a little bit of the same thing. Our question was, do you think money in politics should be the focus issue for Coffee Party USA? We got 80, you know, well over 1,200 responses. 86 of the people said yes, 14% of the people said no. They all had an opportunity to comment. 23% of the people commented on the survey or added to their yes-no answer. And one of the concerns that was expressed at that time was, I think you should keep civility as your focus. We'll talk more in detail about specific answers to this question and comments that people had. Or if you've gone to our blog post, again, at www.coffeepartyusa.com, and it's the lead blog right now, but it'll be easy enough to find if you scroll that page. It's a little bit of a comfort to me for people to consider civility an issue and as opposed to a way of being. Or maybe it's our signature way of being, or at least the way we try to be. We are human. We falter. But our survey did the same thing. And so it was significant enough an impact. Our survey results and the survey results from Michael Charney's radio show, The Middle Ground, that the board of directors actually spent a lot of time talking about this last night. Before I share any of that discussion, I want to remind people that this is a talk show, a call-in show, and the number to call in is 646-929-2495. And I'd also like to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the specific results of the survey. So with that lead-in, Debbie Lynn, you did an even more thorough review of this data than I did. And I'm interested in, first of all, your first impression, and then second of all, where you think that takes this conversation.
Yeah, the, Well, I was not surprised to see that the majority of people said that, yes, money in politics is like the primary issue that we should be, the primary focus for Coffee Party USA. It's been, that was the result of a survey taken, I want to say, a little over 2 years ago, maybe at the convention in 2010 even. And that was when, you know, before the white paper was written, where we talked about campaign finance reform, tax reform, and Wall Street reform. So really, the dysfunction or the gridlock that we've seen in Washington now, you know, money and politics really kind of covers all of that. And so to me, there was no surprise that money and politics came back as a strong yes out of the survey. What I was really fascinated by were some of the, when people answered yes or no, the survey goes to a comment box so people could then expound upon their reasoning. And whether you said yes or no, you got to comment as long as you wanted. We did not restrict the answer at all. And so the thoughtfulness with which, you know, some people were like, well, I really want to focus on the environment or jobs or women's issues or making government smaller. But everybody, you know, so even the people who answered yes were like, I have all these other things that I actually care more about, but none of that can happen until money in politics is actually addressed. And so there was kind of like this broad understanding. And then a lot of the people who answered no did answer no on some other specific issue, or they answered no to say the Coffee Party is the place where we need to talk about all of these issues, and Coffee Party needs to hold the space of civility so that all the issues can be talked about. And so it kind of gets back to what you were saying, Janine, about civility, the way of being, and Coffee Party needing to be the place where we can actually have the conversation.
Exactly. And this was a very thoughtful set of comments. I was very pleased. We also could tell on our survey that while many of the responders were already members or followers of Coffee Party USA, many were not. And that was very heartening to me, that we're not just you know, talking to the same people all the time, that we actually got views from people who have not signed the civility pledge, who have not joined the movement, who are not members, and who are not donors. I was very pleased to see that. I see that we already have a caller, so why don't we go ahead and see what our listening audience has to say today. I'm opening the mic for Piston Pilot.
It's a bit vague when I hear money and politics. What does that mean?
It means a lot of things. And so sort of the background that we've been creating for this on this show, on our pages, and in our conversation is there is the current trend. It was very well described by Lawrence Lessig in his book Republic Lost, where our political system has morphed into one in which our elected spend more time raising money than they do in acts of governance. And so he talks about impropriety or the appearance of impropriety in how they vote and what they pay attention to. So that's like, to me, issue one in money and politics. It has to do with the fact that it appears, it is either true or appears to be true, that our elected look to their funders and not to their voters when it comes to determining their votes on legislation. I think the other thing is the groundswell of PACs, super PACs, dark money, and the likes of legislative helper groups like ALEC, who actually draft legislation and then market it. I don't remember how many time multiplication of the number of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. It's like because money has become speech, and because it now has the protections of a citizen, cash is a citizen these days, and our elected are as accountable or responsible to that cash.
How is cash a citizen?
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah, seriously. How is cash a citizen?
It became a citizen. It obtained citizen rights when money and speech were linked by the courts. And so some would say that the notion that your ability to speak is greater than mine because of your assets is threatening to this republic's democracy.
Where was lying on this list? I didn't see this.
No, there was no list that we produced. We asked one single question, and other people brought it in. Now, integrity in politics is clearly one of the things that came up.
And where was it in relation to money?
Survey. Say it again?
So the survey didn't ask about that? The survey just asked about money?
It said, should this be our focus? And go ahead, Debbie Lynn.
Well, I was just going to say, if you haven't seen the survey, I'm going to post it in the chat room, and I would recommend that you go and look at it.
I think that's a great idea. I will look at it.
One question, yeah.
I'm curious where lying, because we're being lied to every day, and it's worse. I don't think that Bush lied as much as Obama, only because I don't think he said as much, and he didn't answer. And we're getting lied to. But when we do get answered, we're getting lies.
Well, it's not. There is no limit to lack of integrity in both the media and in the political process. And some of us could connect the dots back to Tash's speech. We can speak whatever we want as long as we call it political speech. We can use that money to propagate whatever narrative we prefer. And so, is the truth available? Absolutely. I think I would assert that there are very few issues in America where the truth is not available. Is it distributed? There's a different question.
No,
and,
it's not.
And, well, that's why we have Be the Media, because Coffee Party believes that it is possible to vet information and then distribute information. And right now, tools... Social media-like tools are one of the only ways to get this stuff out.
I'm referring to when politicians, and we'll start with Obama at the top, when politicians open their mouths, they're lying to us.
Oh, no, they're dancing for dollars. They're dancing for dollars. They're saying what funders want to hear. And I assert, and many of us have, that once they actually, there's no cash reward either now or in the future, for speaking the speak, it will diminish. Right now, they're trying to impress people that are going to give them money. That's it. They don't care about the voters. They don't care about the truth. What they care about is saying the right thing so that the right people hear it and the right people make contributions to their campaign or contributions against their opponents.
So, besides, banging on what's wrong with the system, what we're trying to talk about here really is about, you know, if money in politics is like the root of corruption in our system, you know, what can we do about it to make a difference? And that, you know, so I want to pose
Does money corrupt politicians or do politicians corrupt money?
So I'm going to answer that one, and this is the truth, the former. And I see that we have another person who wants to get in on this, so I'm going to meet you for just a second, and I'll bring in our next caller, then I'll open your mic again. Thanks. So I'm going now to area code 414 and trying to open the mic. There we go. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, it's Bob from Cudahy, Wisconsin. The gentleman was... sort of saying some very unpleasant things about politicians in line. There's a very, very old line. I would be tempted to think it goes back to Will Rogers or maybe back into the Roman Empire. I have no idea. But how can you tell a politician is lying? His mouth is moving. That's sort of like the general disregard people have for politicians. Also, I have a couple of housekeeping issues. Where can the Lunch with Loudon chat room be found on the internet? And can this blog talk program be followed online? And if so, at what URL?
Oh, got it. Debbie Lynn, can you answer the how to find us?
Yes. So if you're Bob, did you get an email from us today?
Actually, I don't believe so, although I haven't gone through all of it.
Okay.
I haven't gotten through my email yet.
Okay, because we linked to the online part of the show. And so you can go to blogtalkradio.com and go to, and then /coffee party.
Right.
And then you can find Lunch with Loudon there because we're in the coffee party.
Okay.
And then
the chat room is down. Go ahead. Sorry.
So blogtalkradio.com /coffee party.
Right.
And then if you scroll down on the screen, the chat room will be below the window, below the where the window is open live.
Okay. Then that's where I will go. I just have not been able to get that to work for me. Thank you.
No problem.
You're welcome. And the other place you can go is we have a Facebook page for Lunch with Loudon. And all our current shows, every week our shows are posted there. And also we talk about the show after the show, and we post articles relevant to the next show. So
right.
It's kind of a dialogue, and so you won't miss one. Also on www.coffeepartyusa.com, there's a dialogue box, or there's a poster,
okay,
so to speak, in the top right. And that lists all the Blog Talk Radio shows that Coffee Party USA is involved in.
Okay. I would like to make one additional comment to the gentleman who has such disregard or such understandable reservations with regards to the credibility of politicians. I would like to get his opinion, or for that matter, anyone's opinion, in terms of the relative importance of the lying that supposedly Obama is doing versus the previous administration's lying with regards to war, with regards to torture, with regards to all those other things that the left keeps on attacking the right about. So I'm done. I'll shut up. So if you want to mute me, that'd be fine.
Okay, I'll mute you for now, but I'll leave you up. I hope you stay with us, and I'm going to open our... system pilot is one angry Jew. So here you are. You're open again. Did you hear the question?
I was asking that question in the chat, Janine. Bob, I just a real quick thing there. I wanted to say also, if you go to coffeepartyusa.com, our blog is up. There's a link to the show there as well. It might be the easiest place to find us.
All right, so I'm opening Piston Pilot, who now says he's one angry Jew, and it's not opening. There we go. It keeps closing. I don't know what's going on here. I'm having trouble with my studio.
Let me see if I can do it, Janine.
Yeah,
okay, thank
you.
There you
go.
Oh, there
well,
you
let's
go.
Well, let's answer his question.
Sure.
Bush gave us the Patriot Act, an abomination. He lied and said it was for finding weapons of mass destruction, which they never found. Obama's put us into, kept us in Iraq, kept us in Afghanistan. He's signed the Patriot Act as it sunsets several times now in his presidency, always doing it under the cover of darkness on a weekend or right before New Year's Day, something like that. He's given us the NDAA. What's the difference? I don't see any difference between Obama and Bush.
Well, I'm going to tell you or ask you the same thing. It's like there is, if money in politics was the issue, then the party makes no difference. You know, it's and if you start going around the relative who lied more, you know, who did what, it actually kind of misses the point, I think, of the fact that the will of the people is not reflected in any of these things you just cited.
Well, what do you think the will of the people is? Let's just take one issue. Let's take this spying that's going on right now. Obama says nothing to see here. What's the will of the people?
Do you think the will of the people is that they want the government spying on all of us?
Well,
do I need to spy on you?
Here's what's interesting to me. I don't think we have a mechanism to know the will of the people. What I know is that my congressional delegation has fought this all along, all three of them. And so I know what the will of my, you know, what these constituents is. They make themselves known, our elected representatives in this case. And, of course, this is big news today, you know, the Manning conviction, the Snowden being able to leave the airport in Russia today and actually walk the streets.
Well, that wasn't the big news. The big news was what he revealed, which is more of what the NSA is doing. And I read through the PowerPoint slides, not fully yet. And what's on those PowerPoint slides essentially says that no matter who you are, you sitting at your computer right now, I can track you if I'm the NSA. And it's not even a matter of wanting to track you. It's when you become too pesky that then I put your name to the computer and I say, show me everything you know. And the computer starts culminating and collating everything. And all of a sudden, I'm now picking through. Oh, isn't that interesting? She likes to look at this at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, she's sending emails to such and such.
This is not invented by government. This is A, this is not invented by government. And B, I mean,
not invented by government?
Most of the data miners I know are private. But second of all, this has been going on for a long time. And certainly
started by marketing.
On steroids. Go ahead.
This was started by marketing companies so they could advertise to us, and it's been co-opted by
politicians. No. I'm going to tell you that the Internet started out as a government entity. I'm telling you right now, the Internet has been out there as a honeypot for us.
Anyway, we have a new caller. We have a new caller. I just want
to... Okay, I'm going to make a statement to sort of try to ease this one into the next person. This is not new. Debbie Lynn and I had a show about this maybe a month ago saying, why is everybody surprised? This has been going on for a long time. And so, again,
but we're not
somehow,
surprised. Nobody's surprised
right
by
now,
it. What we are is
there's a big, there's
the
a big
scope of it. Did you
so
expect the scope of
new.
It? Wait a minute. Did you expect the scope of this to be as big as
yes.
it is?
Yes. Yes. This doesn't surprise me a bit.
So what do you want to do about
so,
it? And last question, let me ask you the last question, because while you're talking about
okay.
money and politics, you got a big donate button on the front of your website. So without money, how are you going to do anything about it?
Oh,
so it's not the question
it's
of money.
That's
it's the question of who gets
because,
the
you know,
money.
No. We don't even make our operating expenses these days. This is not Citizens United did not let us.
I understand
us.
That,
we have no corporate
but you're decrying money.
I mean, but do not equate.
But you're decrying
wait.
Money, and you but
no,
you
no.
need money
no.
to fight the money, no. don't you?
Okay, so here's the deal about money. I'm not saying money is inherently evil. What I'm saying is that in our case, money is not speech. Right? In other words, if we pay for Blog Talk Radio every month, that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? No one is buying influence from us. There are no corporations. There are no rich sugar daddies. There is no financial motive here. Everybody, with the exception of one consultant, works for free for Coffee Party. This is a grassroots movement. And just because they both use cash is kind of absurd. You know, we're not talking millions, billions. We're not even talking hundreds of thousands in our case. We're talking tens of thousands. That's it. And to say that we have the ability or the access to use cash the way Alex uses it, any party uses it, the Koch brothers use it, that, you know, any dark money source, any third party legislative group is almost silly. We're not comparing anything on the same balance beam at all. So we have another caller, and I'm going to open the mic to area code 404. Bobby Rodrigo, welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Good afternoon, ladies. Good subject, as always. You know, I know you've heard me say this before, the money and politics issue, to be on point of the show, I believe that none of this is an issue if we just take it a step further and go to remove corporate personhood, because that's how all this started. You know, the fact that when you consider corporations being people, then, of course, if we're going to live that way, if we're going to go with that rule of law, then, of course, they're allowed to do anything that we're allowed to do because they already have been stated that we're people. So that's how we wound up in the situation that we're in so many ways. So they have all the money. And I don't know if you've noticed, this fall the Supreme Court's going to be hearing arguments about a case that's tracking out of Alabama, of course, that is about individual campaign contributions limitations being removed. Now, this case has been going on about a year. It actually started before the election process last year. Now, you know, if you just look at the juxtaposition of the two, I don't see how the court can allow the one without the other. So it seems to me that we're heading down the road of unfettered restrictions because of corporate personhood being people, and then of course people are people. So you've got to let the people do what you're letting the corporations do. So we've got a problem, and it's either going to have to be solved either by amendment, the proper way, or legislation, or both, or doing what Arkansas is doing. I know that you ladies. Or we're familiar with the call that we got a couple weeks ago about what was happening in Arkansas and how it's on the ballot. It's got to happen. Otherwise, it continues to grow as opposed to be pulling back. And then none of this is even touching the issue of lobbying, which is, even in my view, even more of a problem than just putting in people that you want to put in office. It's what goes on after and all that lobbying that happens, which, of course, is also part of that wonderful Arkansas bill that's put together. That's my input on that.
But it's really true. Another example of what you're saying, North Carolina, was it last week? Things are happening so fast right now. Both raised the limits that individuals could contribute to campaigns and increased blocks to voter participation. So what does that tell you? Fewer people can vote, and the people who can contribute more. I was at the Root Strikers Conference to Restore the Republic a couple months ago now, and one of the interesting things said from the podium there was that, like, less than 2% of the people in the whole country give $200 or more to political campaigns in any given year. So we're already, even the people who write a $200 check, for example, that's already, you know, the great majority of people in this country are not able to give anything more than their $10 or their $25, or, you know, in Oregon you get a tax credit for $50 per person and $100 per family. So, or I guess it's per couple. But so the point here is that when you talk about contributions to political campaigns, you're talking the overwhelming 99% of contributions come from either individuals of means or corporations. So there you go, businesses. I guess it's possible. I mean, not all corporations are big. Some are small. I don't know the statistics on small business contributions. So we're really talking about a lopsided balance being here when, indeed, if money is speech, who gets to speak the most? And it's nuts to think that there – plus the Citizens United decisions that you're referring to, I mean, corporate personhood was escalated to citizenship. No one has called it that, and yet they have the rights of citizens. What's more, they have the rights of super citizens. So you and I have limits that we can contribute, right? At least directly. We can go to dark money sources and contribute. But for, you know, In the light of day, there are limits that an individual can contribute to political campaigns in total, whereas corporations have no limits. So they exceed the rights of a citizen. And
well,
so I'll be, you know, again, this is one of the reasons we were asking the question on the survey, is there, should this be a focus? And two things came up. One was an overwhelming yes. The second were caveats. And one of the caveats was to approach this with civility.
Well, and to provide the space for the conversation so we can figure it out together.
Exactly.
You know, just so you ladies are aware, and I just posted it in the chat room, everybody should take a look at that. August 1st, 2013, corporations can give unlimited amounts of political candidates beginning today under changes to Alabama campaign finance law. This is not even the one I was talking about. This is just a bill that was passed earlier this year, removed the cap of $500 that corporate contributions could do.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is no limit on the state level. So, again,
right. This is more work.
It just works. I mean, if you do a state by state look, which is really important because, of course, we as a coffee party tend to spend a lot of time talking. Well, all the activist groups. Our focus is on the federal government, without question. When it comes to corporate subsidies and the tax situation and money in politics, et cetera. But you know, not too long ago, I was looking at a survey. Well, not a survey, an informational post that was done. A study that was done on one of the nonprofit sites, and they went through the local government subsidy list. It had nothing to do with the feds, and so as you pointed out earlier with Alec, it is going on at every possible level, just the corporate subsidies. It is coming from, when we talk about trying to change in our community, like you mentioned how things are fought in your community, these things are happening at the community level and going up, as opposed to the other way going down, I would argue, because the states and the local governments are doing it ad nauseum, and Alabama's law coming into effect is proof positive of that.
That's exactly true. We had one of our followers call in. Oh, shoot. Well, he was attending the last ALEC conference, not the one that's happening next week, but the previous one. And he called in at a recess from this conference and said, oh, my gosh, you can't believe what's coming down the pike. And ALEC has basically given up on the national theater comparatively and is going to the state-by-state changing of the law because they have more power there. And,
yeah.
You know, especially when you have citizen legislators in most
yeah.
States, they have less time, they have less defenses, they have less funding. It's pretty frightening. We have a couple of hands up, Bobby. I'm going to mute you for a second, but I'll call back. Thank you so much. Joe Pomponio, area code 518, I'm opening your mic now. I'm trying to open your mic now. There you go.
Okay.
Are you with us,
Joe? I'm unmuted. Hey, ladies,
excellent.
How are you? Good today.
It's a good day.
You with me?
It's a good day to be in the coffee party.
Okay. I just wanted to, I guess, I took the survey, and I've got to admit, the money in politics is the answer if we can get rid of it. I personally prefer publicly financed campaigns. If they have to come to the people voting for them, they're going to listen to the people that they represent. If they're going to other people with more money, they are in turn going to listen to the people with more money. To connect the dots a little bit, there was an earlier call with regard to the spying. Now, I've done a bit of research on this. Generally, if you look into it, the companies doing the spying are corporations. They're under contract to NSA. NSA, in effect, gets the results of that, and they analyze it. That doesn't mean the corporations doing it don't have access to it, and thereby they are publicly held and traded. They make contributions to political campaigns, which could explain why their budget, since its inception in 2001 or 2002, has gone from $1 billion a year to $8 billion a year. Now, there's your connection to money and politics. Their reasoning, I suspect, you can't really get into these companies to find out, but their ads indicate that they sell services, and they sell services to corporations. Most of them are multinational corporations, which would indicate they have access to information on a worldwide basis that they can supply to these multinationals to help them expand their business. Right? So, you know, this is the kind of spider web that's involved. Now, I don't per se have a problem with NSA. I have a problem with the method used to collect information. There are no IGs at these corporations. They can't be held accountable. They're their own persons. So if you're going to get anywhere with them, you know, you're going to go through a degree of problems. On a local level, on my state, I'm in New York. We are trying to get Fair Elections New York passed. Our biggest problem with individuals that when the state looked into them have very heavy contributors. They're in small districts, middle income to upper middle income, but they get contributions that are way beyond the income means of the people there. So they've started a corruptions investigation of all the politicians in the state. And, you know, I don't know state law. I don't know how the election laws on the state level work, but hopefully they're going to be able to filter all this out. This might be a method other states can use. But, you know.
Well, you know, that's interesting because, you know, Bobby was just talking about Arkansas, and the law that was described to us by someone who called in a few weeks ago was basically that they were able to limit input into campaign coffers because they limited it to state offices. You know, the minute you cross state lines, then apparently something different happens. But if you... To me, it's a huge victory, as Bobby pointed to, that at least in your own elections, I believe, I'm going to open Bobby's mic again, I'm going to ask this question. I believe he also said that they were limiting the ability of out-of-state concerns to contribute to local campaigns. Was that true, Bobby? Do you remember that?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, the limitations on the money that was getting anywhere near the politicians was very strict in every possible direction, and that was one of them that was listed. I'm going to try and pull it up here from my Facebook messaging because you sent me the whole law, and I'll put it in
yeah.
the chat room.
Thank you, because I think that's a key thing. You know, we want to solve these problems in one fell swoop, and certainly some action that would reverse the Citizens United decision. It would clearly make a difference here. But on a state-by-state basis, just like ALEC can find more influence there, so can other issues. And this Arkansas plan is brilliant if your concern is how much money comes to campaigns and where the money comes from. So the Montana law, however, that was challenged in court and lost post Citizens United, this 100-year law that basically kept big money out of Montana politics, I believe in if that rationale continues, was able to be struck down because it involved all campaigns, including national campaigns like campaign for president. So we'll see how this morphs in the future. And if we all don't mind moving on just a bit. We have a new caller at area code 408, struggling with the studio board to open your mic, 408. There you go. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon. And who am I speaking with today?
Hi, good afternoon. My name's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. So first I want to say thank you to everybody for the thoughtful remarks. there, I don't think there's one thing that I've heard that I can disagree with. As far as the topic at hand, one of the things that occurs to me is mm-hmm. that there are so few venues for just regular people to find out the real truth, right? So we have media controlled by a narrower and narrower group of people, corporations. That issue is getting worse and worse. You have the people like the Koch brothers trying to buy up newspapers, and so I think one of the issues, you know, clearly from the survey, those of us who are really paying close attention see that if we got money out of politics at all levels as much as possible, and again, to reiterate what somebody else said earlier, money in and of itself is not a bad thing. Money is, we need money, makes kind of the world go around, right? It's how it's being used and the undue influence that it has on our lives, our everyday lives. And so what I want to put out there is, how can we educate people and educate them in a way that doesn't sound like, you know, a partisan effort, and you know, motivate individuals to help push these laws through in their own states and at the federal level, so that what we do in our everyday lives is it doesn't shoot ourselves in the foot. So, in other words, am I supporting a company? Am I shopping? Am I spending my money at a company that contributes regularly to ALEC? Do I work for a company that contributes to ALEC? You know, I'll stop there. Just want to put that out.
Susan, I got something for you.
Okay.
There is an app for your phone that can help you with this.
Yep.
And it's called BYOTT, BYOTT. If you don't
have it. I'm familiar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yes, I'm familiar with BYOTT. So I didn't know, that was a little bit of a veering from my point, but I do appreciate that. I guess the more important thing is getting, creating, the idea that I have is creating a broader venue that is not controlled by corporate interests, media.
Yes.
Well, that's a brilliant comment, because part of what we're able to do right now, I think, in social media is make a standard for civility. So we create safety in conversation and then try to only present vetted information, try to get a conversation, a dialogue going on. If we're successful, then that information gets shared, right? So people take it from where we offer it, join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page, and they share it within their groups. And it's possible a lot of these pieces to share by email, to share any way you want to share them. You can put them on Tumblr and Google+, and, you know, you name it. And so it's kind of like conversations that generate conversations, I think, when what you're using is your time and your skill instead of your money. The other thing is there's a project right now called the Prometheus Project, where low-band radio station frequencies are being about to be given away or auctioned off cheap. I think it's given away. And groups like Coffee Party USA are applying for these licenses. Because once we get syndicated, we can broadcast each other's things, you know what I'm saying? And or once we have a station, then we can syndicate. And so it's kind of like saying, what does it take? Maybe to restate your question is, what does it take to create a grassroots communication network where we return to the idea of news as news? Or we return to the idea of objectivity to the point that we can. you know, and that we welcome all respectful points of view.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, now, does that make sense so far?
That was a perfect restatement. Thank you.
Yeah, and I really think it's up to us. That's why we call our project Be the Media. You be the media. Mm-hmm. If you find something truthful, if you can vet it, share it. You know?
Oh, and that's my motto.
Mm-hmm.
I do that
and
quite a bit.
And if people are trying to bust into the, you know, our page is a moderated page, not a moderated page, it's a control page. We only have, you know, 12 posters, whatever. But you can always post to our page and we'll pick up your comment. Or you can go to Lunch with Loudon on Facebook. And there are fewer comments to weed through on my page, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can get that information into the system. We also have an extensive network of Scoop It pages, which are news pages. And we probably have, Debbie Lynn, what, a dozen of those. Coffee Party Conservative,
right.
Coffee Party Feminist, Coffee Party this, Coffee Party that. And so we try to focus the news that people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another venue. So if you send an article to me, I have an opportunity to put it on a half a dozen pages, create a blog on our website, or take it to Scoop It, or bring it to Coffee Party Radio. That's what we're trying to do right now. And, you know, and maybe this is a good place for me to do my little fundraising bit because, you know,
I was
we
just
are
thinking
grassroots.
That.
Yeah, because we are grassroots, crowdsourced. I would love it, you know, if Ben and Jerry's would say, hey, we're going to make Coffee Party on ice cream and you're going to get the profit. You know, I would just, you know, be a happy person. But right now, what it really is up to are people who become members. And you can become a member on an annual basis or on a monthly basis for people who donate. And right now, people who become members, we offer you the download of a free book by one of our directors. And then people who donate, we match their donation with restaurant.com coupons. So to find that, you go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and you can click on the donate button. You can become a member. There's also one called Join the Movement, which is you join, no financial strings. But whatever you do, if you get to our website, please consider taking the Civility Pledge. It is the heart and soul of our ability to have these conversations and to forward the action in terms of creating a culture of political engagement in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds
thank
great.
You for that
thank
segue.
I'm good at that. Thank you very much.
There you go. You're welcome. Thank you for calling, Susan. So I just referred to stability. I mentioned earlier in this conversation about how both the survey that was taken by the Middle Ground and the survey that Debbie Lynn and I took, Opinion Please, both of them generated a lot of conversation about how it is that we actually create an environment based on civility, which is mutual respect, a place where people can go and express their views and not be denigrated for them.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I'm interested in whether or not any caller, 646-929-2495, or anyone in chat considers, you know, if you have an opinion about the significance of creating that safe environment, or we certainly know we have faltered, and the conversation at the board of directors last night was about kind of coming to the group think that there is no change in our philosophy, but we had perhaps faltered from time to time to maintain the safe environment that we had hoped to create or that we had created, and a reaffirmation of our commitment to civility in conversation that empowers engagement by all folks. And the people who have raised their hands before, if you hit one again, your hand will go down, and then you hit one a second time, and your hand will come back up if you want to speak to this issue specifically. So, Debbie Lynn, what did you see when we were looking at our comments and interacting with our respondents?
Yeah, I saw, well, mostly I saw that there was a tremendous longing for that place to have the conversation and dialogue. You know, and there's always going to be this place for where people just want to be right and they don't really care about the safe space because, you know, they just want to drive their point home. And I think one of the things that it's hard to do on Facebook, and this is one of the challenges, because people on Facebook are not necessarily, they're not members of Coffee Party, they haven't taken the civility pledge, and we get trolls on there. And so this is where, you know, if people go to the Facebook page and think, oh, this is the Coffee Party, that's not necessarily representative of the Coffee Party community. And so, I mean, you speak about this more elegantly than I, because I don't moderate the page nearly as often as you do.
All right. Well, it is true that sometimes when there are kind of bantering back and forth, banter can be good or it can be divisive. And sometimes that divisive banter comes from people who are not, you know, have not done the pledge, have not joined the movement, have not been donors, and have not been members. And so there's this awkward pause, if you want to call it that, where I say to myself, okay, do I just stop this now so that the rest of us can have a safe experience here, or do I let the page self-correct, which it often does. Folks will speak up for themselves and say, you know, that's not very Coffee Party. Or my favorite one is, that is so Coffee Party. And it's an important balance because on the one hand, you want to encourage conversation. But at the moment, party blasting, I call it polarized thinking starts to happen, then all of a sudden people are not reading the thread anymore. They leave, they go somewhere else, they do something else. And so I really think it's a huge interrupter to the dialogue we have to create when people just go in and start bashing anybody or anything. And so I am going to go back to, see, it looks like Joe and Bobby with their hands up. And so I'm going to open Joe and Bobby, and I'm going to say, hey, what do you think about what kind of extremes or what kind of maneuvers do you think could be helpful in maintaining civility on our Facebook page and other places that we post?
Bobby, you want to go first? No, go ahead, Joe.
I'll go. Bobby, you go first.
Okay. I think the only thing we can do is lead by example as members of the Coffee Party. Keep pushing the facts. You know, I have, like all of us, I take this very seriously, and I believe, and I certainly, with the two of you ladies, without question, and I believe that we talk about such important issues that people are going to listen to us and may accept what we say without researching, which is a typical problem that we're dealing with. So I think along the lines of civility is the same thing. I just lead by example and kill them with love, I guess. Because what else do you do when you're dealing with these two? You have to be patient. You can't get drawn in. We all are drawn in. I mean, we're human. But I just think you need to lead by example on the conversation. Stay focused on the subject matter and the facts. I find it interesting. I've been doing some reading, a lot more reading lately, on just the history of, like, Coffee Party around the, because of the polls. Yeah, not the polls. What did you just do?
The surveys.
Thank you. The survey. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, and of course, you know, we were frowned upon, and I absolutely went to the Coffee Party. to see what it was, because I hated what the Tea Party had become after initially, without question, because I knew without having any engagement with anybody that there was a lot of facts missing from a lot of things that they were saying, just from normal education. So when I found the Coffee Party was fact-based and they didn't back candidates and they were more about fixing the government as a society, not as a group, not as a partisan group, you know, I dove right in. And it, everybody stayed consistent from that, from the leaders. All you guys, you know, have led that way. I just think we need to do it by example, continue to do it by example the way you guys have shown it, and just beat it down.
That was certainly the consensus. Oh, go ahead.
I have a comment I just want to throw in here. One of our board members one time was constantly being triggered in some of the Facebook posts, and this is in one of the subgroups, not on the main page. And somebody asked one time, it's like, well, what are you doing here if you're constantly getting triggered by things that people are posting? And he was like, I'm practicing my civility when I talk politics.
There you go.
Right. Well,
and I just I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we certainly don't always succeed. I have to say that one of the commitments from our meeting last night was, you know, to exactly that, lead by example. So it's one thing to say what the comments on any given post are, but it's everything to look at what the post was itself, because that is actually Coffee Party, right? And so the first job is to lead by example. The second is to mentor people. You don't just delete it and you say, hey, let's bring it back to this and a civil discussion of this issue. And then, but another piece is to admit that sometimes we falter, that we are human, and that I can't tell you, it's probably half a dozen times over the last 2 years where I've stopped and said, oh my gosh, thank you. You know, reset, let's go. Because I think that that's one of the things that is absolutely true, that we are human beings, that we falter. That doesn't mean we're not committed to this. And so the reaffirmation of civility, you know, our motto of incite civility and reason came out of the board meeting last night, and it just warmed my heart, because it's like no matter what issue we take on, whether it's money in politics or anything else, this is the fundamental basis of our action. And if we falter, if we fail in any given moment, by all means, point it out, but don't think it's, you know, you be my coach, I'll be your coach. We can exchange, we can do this for each other. And that's a part of the, you know, we are making a change. I think that there's been an intentional cultural shift that's been motivated by the narrative to be combative. And when people say, oh, isn't the Coffee Party the anti-Tea Party, they're only half right. The part they're right about is that at the moment of the creation of the inception of the Coffee Party, the Tea Party was misbehaving. They were doing denigrating things on the lawn of the Capitol building, in town halls across America. They were interrupting. They were being bullies. It had nothing to do with their issue per se. So the place where that statement is wrong is that all issues are welcome here. All issues, all points of view are welcome. And there is a decorum here that must be honored. So maybe that has cleared it up. Any last thing before we close, Bobby?
You hit it on the head and let Joe get in there.
Okay. We can run a couple of minutes over.
All right. No, I'll try to be brief. Bobby hit it on the head, and so did you, Janine. I would just add transpartisan. We have to start emphasizing that. Now, as far as reaching people, I'm online a lot. I comment on things I see. When I see they're of a political nature, okay, and it might be a divisive issue, in my comments, I include after my comment, the Coffee Party USA, contact us. What I'm going to add to that is civility and transpartisanship. In other words, don't come looking for a fight, come looking for a way to solve the problem, which is, again, in my case, what drew me to the coffee party. I saw a distinction, not so much in the fact that you were coffee and they were tea. What I saw were people my age, a lot of them, they had pictures of them, meeting in a civil manner with the concept of trying to solve problems and leaving out political parties. Now, I've always been of the sense government is made up of two parties. But when the party's over after the election, now your representative, it's time to go to work. And I, you know, what I'm seeing now is not that. And I won't pick either side because they're both doing it. They each feel they have their reason, and it's up to us, the voters, to reel them in. With money and politics, that's very difficult. I'll leave it there.
Brilliant. Brilliant close. Well, we're just a few minutes over, everybody, but I still want to remind you that Coffee Party Internet Radio has 4 shows per week. Mondays is Dan Aronson. He's hosting Press One for Democracy at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tuesdays, Michael Charney and Eric Beiler host The Middle Ground, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thursdays, of course, Lunch with Latin, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And Saturday, Egberto Willis hosts Politics Done Right, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. This has been a wonderful conversation. I want to thank everybody. And for me today, more than ever, I just love saying this to you. Coffee party on.